Hello. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Welcome back to Basically Experts. Yeah, here we go.
You know it. It's the podcast where we tell you what to do, how to do it, because we're experts. So do what we say.
And you know what? Just to mix things up, I'm going to let Lori go first and tell you why she's an expert, because I always feel showed up when I go first.
Hey guys, I'm Lori. I am a sports dietitian and a athlete, a runner, a cyclist, and a board certified. I don't know what I am. I have pregnancy brain. Can I just leave it at that? Like I am I am failing at everything. I am a personal trainer. I am an author of 2 published books. I've done a lot of races. I've cooked a lot of recipes. I'm here to tell you what you need to know about sports nutrition. How about that?
That is fantastic. That sums it up in a slightly less intimidating for me way. And if you're new to this podcast, I'll tell you why it's intimidating. And if you're not new, then you know the drill. But usually I tell you the reasons I'm an expert, which when it comes to degrees and certifications, I actually was a level 1 certified Reiki therapist years ago, but I think that fades if you don't use it. I think it's a use it or lose it kind of thing. I had a massage therapy certificate, but as far as like, I have a degree in Spanish and it did come in handy, but I mostly haven't used it to say anything more than like cerveza and queso since 2003. So, yeah, so I'm an expert because of my experience. I did spend 2 years in the Women's World Tour racing for Canyon SRAM and still race bikes, maybe, still plan to race bikes with the 3TQM women's team, domestic elite team here in the U.S. And I'm an expert. I feel more of an expert as a runner because I did spend several years annoying the shit out of my coaches, picking their brains, training, learning, making all the mistakes, correcting my mistakes, doing all the things. And I have a lot of success. I've run a 237 marathon. Won't take you to the Olympic Games, but it's pretty dang fast. So my expertise is more lived experience expertise, where Lori has the lived experience and all the degrees and the cool initials and shit to back it up. So we're both experts in our own different ways. And we're here to tell you.
Yeah, it makes it good because we have a lot to contribute and a lot of information to throw at you and answer your questions. And this week, the last 2 weeks were a little bit different. We took you through some personal journeys and it was awesome. Got to learn a little bit more about what's been going on with myself and with Leah. And this week, we're continuing that a little bit. We're answering your questions, but related to feedback on those previous topics. So I'm going to answer a few questions that I've gotten from people about being a pregnant athlete. And then Leah, or maybe Leah wants to start, which is cool, is going to answer some questions about surgery and recovering from that. So, yeah. And then we'll get back to like your normal questions next week.
Yeah. Well, I'm fine with whichever way you want to do it. If you want to answer questions first, we probably should have discussed this in the 30 minutes we were talking before we started recording.
Yeah, we obviously don't plan this very well, guys. Welcome to our show. This is all.
Welcome to our life.
As you listen to it. We're not faking it here. This is all real.
Yeah, I think that makes it better.
Sure. I can go first. I think I'm going to answer I'm going to do 3 questions. I kind of summarize some questions. Usually we go back and forth with asking the questions, but today we're just going to keep it all together because it's all related to one topic, so we don't like get all over the place. So I've gotten throughout this pregnancy I've got a lot of questions from people, which has been awesome, because it's always fun to answer the questions. It's always fun because sometimes they make me think more and have to like do more research and look into things.
This is really just a self-exploration podcast that we're learning about ourselves through your questions. So thank you.
Absolutely. And totally appreciate it. So I'm going to sum up the questions that I've gotten, into 3 main ones. And the first one is going to be, how accurate are the pregnancy weight gain charts? And do I really need to care about them? Because as an athlete, we all know that weight is like a very sensitive topic. And when you're told to like gain weight, it can be an issue, right? Because nobody really wants to gain weight, even if you need to. And the weight gain charts are a little problematic because they are based on like BMI. I know a lot of people like hate BMI, but it is a very like clinically sound metric. So that's how we're referring to BMI when we talk about like these weight gain charts. So yes, it is valid in this instance. And it's, there is a lot of research to back up and connect pre-pregnancy BMI to maternal and fetal outcomes. So that's like where this whole weight gain chart came around. And if you're familiar with it, it's like an upward, you know, growth chart that recommends how much weight you should gain based on weeks pregnant you are. Starts out pretty slow in the beginning in that first trimester and then kind of ramps up towards the end. The best way to think about it is a general metric, right? It is not designed for like no OB staff or team like came in and analyzed my body and said, okay, this is how your chart should look. This is how your curve should look. Because it's not going to be straightforward as these charts show you. It's not going to be exactly what the charts show you. It's like somebody handing you generic heart rate zones and telling you to stay within one. And you're like, well, what if I go out? Or what if I'm in and out and, you know, around that area? Like, it's going to be different for each person. The thing to keep in mind and not to stress out about is just like, it's there for a reason. So try to stay around it. If you're a pound under or a pound over, like, it's not going to matter. If you're way off, you know, if you're 10 pounds under where you need to be, yes, that is connected, probably not 100%, because again, it's connected to problems based on the general population, right? Not necessarily you. So maybe if you don't, if you're 10 pounds underweight or like under the growth recommendation, maybe everything's going to be just fine, but there is a higher risk statistically that there could be problems. And that's kind of a theme throughout pregnancy, is better safe than sorry. Like, you're involving another human life that you are growing, and it's a huge thing to comprehend. But the choices you make and the metrics and the numbers that you're trying to hit now, these like new training metrics, are not just designed for you to feel good, but designed to like provide your body and the baby's body with what it needs. So the more, you know, above and below, mostly below, is connected to more problems. Above is connected to like harder to lose it afterwards, but not as many actual health problems. So that's a really important thing to keep in mind. Like, and I just read in a study that a third of pregnant women like go into pregnancy with the mentality of, I am not gaining weight, like, which is a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it's crazy because you have to gain weight. Even if you're starting at a very overweight beginning, like, you're still going to gain a little bit, you know.
It's also a super, just to interject my like unpregnant, never had kids feelings on this. Because I'm pretty sure we will never know the answer to this, but I am almost positive that if I had had kids, I would for sure have gained a ton of weight. Not because like, oh, I eat so poorly or I couldn't do, but I just have that body type. So I think that's another thing that's probably really challenging. And like, you can't go into it saying like, oh, I'm not going to gain weight, because if you just have a body type that loves to put on weight, whether it's muscle or you retain water easily, like, I've seen, and as I've kind of followed, you know, Lori, your pregnancy journey, and I think, in my honest opinion, like, it seems like you've gained an appropriate amount of weight. Like, you're pretty average. Like, I definitely don't look at you like, damn, but it's not like, oh, I hate you. Like, she didn't even gain weight. And then I have like another person who I know locally here in Little Rock, who's a little bit less pregnant than you, but like, literally, she's running sub 7 minute mile interval things like 31 weeks. You can, if she was facing the back, you can't tell she's pregnant. And it's just like, I'm sure it's difficult as somebody who's pregnant to see someone like that and be like, well, she cannot gain weight. How come I'm gaining weight? But it's like, but you have to understand that bodies are different. Like, I can eat a steak and wake up 10 pounds heavier because of the other amount of salt it had on it, and she wouldn't do that either. So yeah. I think it's like, for people to say, I'm not going to gain weight, maybe you're not, but some of that is out of your control. And if you want to have a happy, healthy baby, you just need to kind of try to chill out, says the person who's never gone through it.
You're absolutely right. And I think, like, one thing I've really tried to be is very, like, upfront and straightforward about the weight gain, because one, I, like, according to the charts, I'm currently 3 pounds above the upper range, and I'm not stressed out about it. Like, it's 3 fucking pounds. Like, it's not a big deal. Yeah. Everything's, like, healthy. I still feel good. I'm still being, like, active, although it doesn't seem like I'm being active, you know, like, I'm still doing some exercise every day. Like, everything's fine. But I am that person who, my body type as well is, I get swollen and gain 3 pounds on a 2-hour airplane trip, you know, like, yeah. I am that body. And I did enter the pregnancy thinking, oh, first trimester, I'm gonna lose because I'll still be active, I won't be drinking, you know, I'm gonna eat so healthy. There's no, and I was up like 10 pounds, like, immediately.
What,
like,
did we do to deserve that?
Like, I looked at the pregnancy test and saw it was positive and, like, gained 10 pounds. Like, that is, yeah. like, honestly, yeah. what happened. And you've got to just get out of that mentality, because there's hormones, there's so much going on. Everybody's so different. Yes, like, look at people, and there's always going to be that a little bit of comparison, you know, we're so used to doing that as athletes, but you've got to get it out of your head is like, oh, what am I doing wrong? Because look at them. Like, that's not the way to do it. Everyone is so different, and all you can do is do the best for your body and your baby. And gaining within that range is really, like, a great target to hit. You know, that's been used for a long time. There are people it doesn't really apply to. There are people who should have, you know, it'd be ideal if every person had a chart that was more individualized to them. Yeah. You know, because these charts are based on the majority of women who have been studied during pregnancy, which have been, like, normal sized white females, right? So for all ethnic groups, it might not be the way your body handles a pregnancy. For very short statured women, BMI might not be as accurate. For super low body fat athletes or very high metabolism athletes, your curve might look a lot different, you know? So right. it's just like, you know, if you're having trouble dealing with it, all I can say is, like, go easy on yourself. If you're eating the right foods and you're still being active within, you know, what you can do and what you should be doing, you're fine. Try to gain enough weight, because the biggest thing is, if you're not gaining enough weight, it's pretty much impossible to get the amount of nutrients needed during pregnancy off a small amount of calories. Like, you can't do it. You know, most athletes can barely get in the quality of nutrients needed normally based on what they're eating to add another life that's growing in there. Like,
yeah,
you need the calories, because the calories supply the nutrients that are needed during pregnancy. If you're not getting those nutrients, one of you or the baby, and most likely it's going to end up being you, because babies are greedy, are going to be deficient, you know? And, like, why do that to yourself when your goal should be to come out of the pregnancy being healthy and still, you know, probably wanting to get back into some form of athletics at some point. So
yeah,
do your body good. Gain some weight, it's fine. Don't worry too much about it, but be very upfront with your OB team. And if you're still feeling, like, stressed out about it, definitely, like, go get a sports dietitian. Send me an email. I'll work with you. We can design a chart that's, like, more accurate for your body and work with it, because you don't want to be stressed out, you know, and worrying and feeling, like, down on yourself throughout the whole pregnancy. Because as I'm learning now at week 33, 9 months, 40 weeks is a really long time to go. It feels like forever. And there's no point in being, like, stressed out and, like, upset about weight for such a long period of time. Like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
All right. So that is my answer to the question on the weight gain calculator. I do want to say too that I'm putting together an ebook, a guide on like athletic pregnancies. So I will be going in depth in a lot of topics and giving a lot of tips and suggestions and some recipes in that. So hopefully I'll have it done pretty soon. And that'll be a fun thing for people who need it to look into. My next question is,
I'm just going to say, as you're prepping for that question, that I need to get a glass of water. So if I don't to anything you're saying, it's not that I've fallen asleep, lost interest, or otherwise. I'm just filling my water.
Sounds good. I'll just be chatting away. So next question is, I was talking a little bit about, you know, my eating habits during the pregnancy on the last episode, but I didn't go too in depth about, you know, an exact like pregnancy diet. And I got a lot of questions about like, what is healthy eating during pregnancy? So to sum that up, and again, it's a question that I could go on for a long time about. There's a ton of information there, but in general, like kind of the short answer is remember that you're eating for two. That does not mean that you need double the calories. That means you need, in some cases, like double the nutrients. So when you're eating for two, you know, make sure that you are eating a very high quality diet. And that's kind of the first thing that I would recommend is look at the quality of the foods that you're taking in. You know, if you're someone who is snacking all the time and having like candy bars or chips and bike rides and Pop-Tarts and things that like were fine for you to consume while you were doing your thing, and burning a lot of calories and whatever, you know, now that you're adding this like brand new life into it, those foods are not super appropriate, at least to get the bulk of your calories and definitely not nutrients from. So it's really important to watch the quality, choose foods based on, you know, are they whole foods? Are they supplying a lot of nutrients? Because when you're pregnant, the needs for many nutrients increase, like calcium, iron, vitamin A, C, D, B12, folic acid, choline, I think zinc too. Like there's a list. So many nutrients are increased during pregnancy because the baby needs these nutrients to form. You know, the baby is like learning how to have eyeballs and how to move and growing a spine. Like all of this is taking place. And if you think your body is missing something, like a lot of athletes are low in iron or vitamin D, and you're feeling the effects from that, like what do you think is going to happen with the baby? So definitely focus on high nutrient dense foods, a lot of variety in vegetables and whole grains. And that does change throughout the pregnancy. Like the different nutrients are prioritized a little bit more. You know, if you're really wanting to get dialed in, then that's something you can definitely tackle. It's something that I looked at in my own eating a bit, as much as I could. But in general, you know, if you're just looking for the basics, what do I need to do throughout the pregnancy, you know, from, and ideally this starts like 3 months before. So ideally, you know, you're planning for this, you're eating a really good quality diet, like leading up to the pregnancy, getting your body in like really good shape, right? It's like you're starting a race event or like race prep, and you need to be in good shape to do that. That's the ultimate. So starting early and then carrying it out through the end is like the ideal, right? So in the beginning, all the nutrients that focus on brain health and tissue development are going to be super important. Towards the end, iron is like one of the most used nutrients because the baby's blood and your blood are expanding so much and the skeleton is hardening in the end. So calcium is super important. So it does vary a little bit, you know, from trimester to trimester. But the most important thing is to just make sure that throughout the pregnancy, you're not deficient in anything, that you're getting a lot of, you know, good quality nutrients, and you're focusing on mostly whole foods. Save the junk for the cravings or treat yourself. That's absolutely fine. I'm not saying like don't have anything fun. I would like to say I've gone a week without ice cream officially.
Wow. So
I know. I left Florida and I'm like, oh, I haven't had any ice cream for a whole week. Feels pretty good.
I'm saying, wow. It's not that Lori and I like do ice cream every night, every week, but she's told me that's kind of been her like, hey, I can't have this, that, the other. I'm having ice cream any and every time I want it. So that was the reason for my big old wow.
Yeah.
I also haven't had ice cream in a week or more. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been pretty upfront with the fact that I feel like I've eaten ice cream for like every night for like 200 nights straight. So yeah, officially 1 week down and I haven't really been craving it. It's, you know, your appetite definitely changes too throughout the pregnancy. In the first bit, I felt like I wanted to eat everything in sight and I could not get enough. And now I'm just like, okay, I don't really feel like it. I'm tired, you know? So yeah, your appetite changes. The nutrients really still need to be there. So the biggest thing about a healthy pregnancy is remember that you are eating for the growth of your body, which as an athlete, you should be paying attention to and acknowledge that most athletes are deficient in something. Usually calcium, iron, vitamin D, B12 is a big one. And then if you're going into pregnancy, like that just gets exaggerated. So really important to ramp up the nutrient intake and focus as much as you can on diverse, whole, healthy foods. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my next question is, so there are a lot of things that are contraindicated, things that you're not supposed to do in pregnancy. How legit are those things? And basically, like, do they matter, right? And I think that's really a downfall in pregnancy education is it kind of starts out with, like, don't do this. You know, don't work out at this rate. Don't eat this food. Don't, you know, there are a lot of don'ts involved. And it can seem overwhelming. It can seem a little depressing. Like I said earlier, it's a situation of better safe than sorry. The reason these things are like have a don't attached to them is some study somewhere has found that they could result in a negative outcome of a pregnancy. And like all research, you know, just like, are eggs bad or good? You know, there are studies that are good quality and studies that are like, maybe we shouldn't be basing general recommendations off of them. But in some things there is a lot of research to back it up and at least enough that points to the potential, right? And that's what we're really looking at is the better safe than sorry. Why do something that could trigger a negative outcome, right? It's like you're not going to, or at least as an athlete, like you shouldn't run on a pair of shoes or like go out and ride your bike when it has a crack in the frame and just hope for the best, right? Like you're going to get away with that for only so long until something really bad happens. And that's kind of the same way to look at your pregnancy is, yeah, you're probably going to be fine. You're probably going to be fine if you have like that one glass of wine. You're probably going to be fine if you don't gain enough weight. You're probably going to be fine if you eat green papaya.
Green papaya is so good, though.
It's so good. But it's one of those things that you're not supposed to do. Or if you have, like, you know, a cup of coffee, like,
I'm going to make a t-shirt that's like, would have had kids, but I really love green papaya.
Seriously. And I mean, that's one that like a lot of people don't know about because it's not super.
That's why it would be a ridiculous t-shirt.
But like, yeah, nobody would really give you strange looks. But there's a lot of like those things that are like, oh, don't do this. And yeah, if you do a little bit of it, you're probably going to be fine. But what happens when those things like add up and eventually the risk becomes greater and greater, like every time you do it, right? Every time you have too much caffeine a day during pregnancy, you're just putting another like weight on or another like check where it's adding to that like risky side is going to overwhelm. And then your potential is like really going to be there. Like, why do you want to do that? So, yeah. And sucks. It's not fun to be like, oh, I can't have deli meat now. I can't have sushi. I can't do this. Like, just once or twice, like, you're probably going to be fine. But why chance it? And why it's not that long to go without these things? So I'd say, like, okay, if you're going to have something, if you're going to, like, have a deli sandwich, you know, there are better quality deli meats that are probably safer than others. Like, I wouldn't recommend going into a fast food joint or, like, a sub shop where some 14-year-old is slicing your meat and it's been sitting there for 3 days. But, like, that's the stuff you need to consider. Like, how food safe is this? Or,
right.
You know, like, eating raw sprouts. Like, those are really easily contaminated when you're not pregnant. So when you are pregnant, like, that's a big risk, you know? I know it's a healthy food, but it does become risky when you're pregnant. So things like washing your fruits and vegetables, you know, not doing the things that could be contaminated with bacteria that your body is more susceptible to. And then the things like caffeine and alcohol, where they add up, you know, over time. One incidence is probably not going to hurt you of, like, a small amount, but if you're doing it every day, you're probably going to have a problem. So yeah. It's just, like, you're better off not doing it. If you do it once, relax, right? Like, generally relax. You're probably fine. You know, if you go out for Thai food and get the green papaya salad, you're probably going to be fine. You're probably going to be fine, right? Like, nothing horrible is going to happen from that, but it's not something that you want to be doing every day. And you don't want to be doing all of those things every day, right? So just kind of manage your risk factors and try to be wise about it. And that goes for, like, the working out too. A lot of, like, outdated data used to say, don't go over 140 beats per minute on your heart rate for training. It was like, that's going to be bad for the baby. That's looking at a very general population. It's not looking at the athletic population. But it is connected to that 90%. So if you're going over 90% of your heart rate, that is a risk, you know, scientifically to the fetus, because you're cutting off blood supply that needs to be going to the baby. If you do that when you're doing, like, a max rep lift and you're staying above 90% for seconds, you know, and you're doing, like, five lifts that session, like, how bad is that really going to be? Probably not, you know.
Right.
That's a very small
amount there.
Right. So you're recovering very quickly. You're not in that, like, red line for a lot of time. If you're doing that up Mount Lemon for, like, 3 hours or 2 hours, you know, or, you know what I mean? Or if you're, like, doing all of these FTP intervals, you're trying to check your VO2 or something like that during pregnancy, like, that's a very long time to stay at, like, a max or red level. And that's going to become risky, because that's, like, 20 minutes plus recovery where your baby could potentially not be getting enough oxygen and blood flow. So that's just, like, again, looking at the risks, doing some research, and playing it safe. You know, you don't need to be doing crazy intervals. It doesn't mean you can't train. It doesn't mean you can't occasionally, like, have a high heart rate. It just means, like, be smart, keep it down most of the time. You know, this is, again, you're training for a different event right now. You're not going into pregnancy to come out and, like, race 3 days later. You need to take it slow. You need to take it easy and understand that these precautions and these guidelines are put into place not to make you feel like shit, not to make the 9 months feel miserable, which it might, but they're there for, like, the general safety and, again, knowledge that, like, keeps the pregnancy generally safe. So I know it's, like, easy, so easy to question every little thing, like, oh, it says I can't do that. Like, I'll show you, because we naturally have that attitude as athletes.
Yeah.
But you just need to, like, take it down a notch and remember that, again, this isn't just about you. You can do this, but even if you can do it, is it the best thing for the outcome of your baby? Right. And that's kind of where everything falls when you're pregnant. And, you know, I'm pretty sure everyone enters the pregnancy with the main goal of not coming out at being able to be like a better athlete or a, you know, a thinner person, but like having a healthy baby. So just that's what you need to keep in mind. And then the rest of it is like keeping yourself sane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is hard. I'm here to tell you it's tough.
Staying sane in general is just hard enough without the added difficulties of a pregnancy, an injury.
Yeah, I mean, especially 2020. the freaking political climate or racially charged climate. I mean, we're dealing with Minnesota again being like absolute idiots.
Oh my gosh, I just saw that tonight. I grew up in Minnesota and it's breaking my heart. Like, I'm so glad I'm not there now. Not to take anything away from the things that need to change in racial injustice, but when somebody dies, that's not a free license to go and loot businesses. Like, that business owner had nothing to do with the racial conflict. Stop being an asshole and an idiot. And people can crucify me. Tell me I'm wrong. Nobody would say that's related. It's not related. An injustice happening doesn't give you the right to just go and take things from society and loot a business. Not to mention, even if you were to say like, oh, well, they owe me this because of racial injustice. No, that's not the way it works. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really a weird way to behave. It's horrible that it's happening to Minneapolis again. But of course, it's absolutely ridiculous that we are in a trial for someone who was murdered. Yeah. This man was murdered. We are in his trial right now and we can't even get through his trial without somebody else being murdered by a cop.
I don't see any way this is going to happen. I don't think that this should happen. Let me make that very clear. But can you imagine what would happen if he's not found guilty?
Oh my God. I don't understand how, like, it was so blatant.
Right. But I'm saying, because I have looked at things where, let me be crystal clear before our podcast is like crucified, my house is burned down.
He's guilty.
He's guilty. Yeah. But they're presenting evidence. I still think he's guilty. I think he should be found guilty. But I'm saying
the court's outcome is going to
right.
Be
like you don't if somebody's sitting on that jury and they're saying like, well, I have seen a lot of medical evidence that maybe it wasn't entirely his fault. Not my opinion, but I'm just saying like, I don't think it's possible. I think no matter what, because if the jury finds him not guilty, they're all getting murdered.
Yeah, it's good.
But
yeah,
I'm just like, it will be like, I feel like even if anybody were questioning it, they need to convict him because he's guilty.
Right.
But even if somebody was like, okay, there's reasonable doubt. Listen, if you're on that jury, I don't care if you see reasonable doubt, you need to convict that man because if you don't, it's not going to be okay.
It's not okay. It
isn't okay. And it's not going to be okay. Like, if you think you're doing the right thing because you find maybe some reasonable doubt, you need to let it go.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because 100%. Like, everyone will pay for it.
Yeah. And I just don't understand it. I don't understand how this could happen. I don't understand like how it's your job you're supposed to be helping people and saving lives. You know, that's kind of at the root of it. And like, this poor 20-year-old was murdered. He has a child. Yeah. He has a, you know, like a family. It's so fucked up. And so like, dealing with things like that, the constant riots, the constant injustices, 2020 pandemic, you know,
we just took a serious hard left off topic.
But like, no, we are. It's still like, because it's a weird time to be pregnant. It's a weird time to, you know, be bringing a life into the world. It definitely can play into stress levels and just like, emotions attached to everything. It's like some people in hospitals still can't have anyone with them, you know, so it is a lot to be pregnant right now. Personally, I've found it probably the best time, you know, just because we're not racing and I don't feel the pressure of, you know, if there was a time to like just sit around, I live in a small town, nothing's happening, I'm not doing anything, I can't go anywhere, nothing's open, like, I'm not racing. So I've found peace in that. But, you know, it's definitely, it can add to the stress and just, like, mental anxiety and everything for a lot of people. So it's hard when you're an athlete and that part of you is taken away, because that's really how we deal with a lot of stress, right? Is like, go for a run or ride our bike or think about the race or focus on the power output or whatever, because we're so used to doing that. And when you don't really have that, because when you're pregnant, none of that really exists. Like, you can think it does, it doesn't. Your training numbers are not yours anymore. Like, it does not work that way. Even if you're enjoying exercising and still being active, it is not the same. You're not training. So you don't really have that to fall back on. So you just need to, like, get your mental side prepared, find other things that make you happy, take appreciation in what your body is doing. And I feel like, personally, I found that really hard in the beginning, because you don't have as well, one, a lot of people don't tell others right away. So there's this whole long stretch of weeks or months where, like, nobody knows and you're just hiding it, which can be really tough. And then it turns into, you think you should be able to do all these things, but your body's saying no, and it's frustrating because you don't really look pregnant yet. And then at the end, it's a lot easier because you just look and feel pregnant, like, there's no denying it.
Yeah,
you just kind of give up, and which honestly is, like, can be worse
probably
physically, but it's mentally, like, so much easier at the end.
Because
you just know, you can see it. Like, I can look down right now and I'm seeing my abdomen. Like, I am lopsided. There's something in there. It is moving around. It is twisting my insides. I am, like, wearing over the belly maternity leggings. You know, like, there is no getting around it. Like, pregnant, time to just settle in and ride this out. Like, and I can see it happening and I can see what has been created, you know. And it's really cool and it's awesome. And it's like, mentally, it's a lot easier to deal with at the end. So for all you pregnant athletes out there, like, keep the questions coming, keep the DMs coming. It's great to, like, chat about what you're going through and have you ask about, you know, different things, and have these discussions. It's great for peace of mind. And also just know that towards the end, that third trimester is, like, mental relief. So you'll get there.
Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff.
Now it's your turn to talk.
My turn. So, you know, and I haven't actually had a lot of questions. I had a lot of commentary. So I guess what I'm going to kind of do is address a bit of the commentary. I'm actually not going to take that long. So it was probably great that you went first. And then I'll give sort of an update, because I guess it's been 2 weeks now since we aired the episode of my questions, and some things have definitely changed. You know, the comments that I had mostly were just kind of sympathy or interest, or, oh, wow, I had no idea. And just to give a real quick addressing of that, my reason for not being public with it wasn't anything of any sort of shame or any sort of, and I apologize if anybody felt guilty that they didn't know. For me, this was just sort of, I'm very open. I've had a few people kind of contact me privately and say, like, if you don't want to talk about this, it's okay. I'm like, no, it was never that. It was just that there was really nothing anybody could do. And I just didn't feel any need to have anyone concerned. I wasn't concerned, at least for the survival. Like, I'm concerned in the fact of anxiety over, will this be effective and will it be a worthwhile investment of time and resources to fix it? But there was no, you know, it wasn't a sort of surgery that was going to require any assistance in recovery. Like, I wasn't going to be immobilized. I was going to be incapable of doing my normal routine, but as far as exercise, but I wasn't going to be like bedridden. I wasn't going to be on crutches. I've been through surgeries that were much more restrictive. And even those I got through without a lot of help. So it was just kind of like, I had every intention from the beginning of kind of sharing my journey of recovery, but I just didn't really see a point. I also didn't want anyone to feel like, oh, well, should we send a card? Should we send flowers? Should we go visit? Should we do this? Like, there was just no need for it. I'm not putting down anyone who, people just have different ways of dealing with things. And for me, I appreciate people's concern, but I don't need, I won't say I never need. I'm sure there's instances where I'm very needy, but in this type of instance, I didn't feel the need to have anyone else feel the need to be concerned or fawning over me over it. So it was just kind of like, I'm just going to talk about this when it's kind of passed.
That could be really like difficult to share and have people at, cause it could stress you out more, right? Like if sure. you shared this and had like all your followers start asking you questions about, are you going to be okay? What's the recovery? Like that really puts sure. a mental burden on you.
Yeah.
Like, very similar to like how we didn't tell anyone we were trying for a baby or like
yeah.
a very few handful of people. Cause you don't want all that input sometimes or like the do this, do that, make sure you prep this way. And, you know, going into a surgery of any kind, it can be a lot to have that extra weight, like emotional weight on you.
Yeah. And I don't think I actually thought about that. I think I more didn't want to burden anybody else, but now that you say that, I think there is, I'm a very much the type of person of like, when, whether it be bike parts or a new car or when I bought my house, like I don't love the process of like looking at a million options and having a million different, like, well, this one's a little bit cheaper, but it doesn't have this, that, or that. It's like, I just want to find something I'm happy with and make like, well, and this wasn't something I wanted to do, mostly from a point of, I didn't want to take time off work. I mean, not off work, sorry, off training. I didn't take time off work. That would have been fine, but I didn't want to take time off training. I didn't want to pay for it. I didn't want to spend, it was a big investment financially that I didn't want to make because I have many other plans for that money, whether it just be that sit in my savings. I didn't want to spend money on it. But beyond that, so it's like, once I was like, this needs to happen, it wasn't, there wasn't really much to discuss. So that's kind of where I was at with that. So, I appreciate everybody who did reach out and who did, you know, send their well wishes, send their prayers, every bit of it was felt and appreciated. But yeah, nobody should feel bad they didn't know, because the reason you didn't know is I didn't talk about it. But yeah. And then, you know, I know when we did when Lori interviewed me last time and asked the questions, I was just about to be cleared or maybe just had been cleared to start exercising. And just to kind of give an update on how that's been, because, you know, as I've mentioned, I've had, this was my sixth surgery. One was during college, but the other four prior to this were all within like a 3-year period. So I've gone through a lot of surgery. I've gone through long recoveries, and I've definitely spent more than 2 weeks out. But my experience in the past has been that I think the longest one I had one time was like 12 weeks on crutches, and then I could be on a stationary bike for a couple of weeks. And then, so it was a lot, much more drawn out recovery. But once I was given the clear, you know, the worst kind of thought was, number one, is it still going to hurt? Is the surgery going to have been successful? And how much fitness am I going to have lost? And it was like every single time my limits were kind of what the doctor would give me. Like my body handled the surgeries pretty well. Well, once, I mean, I had them all, like, obviously there was one that impacted, I had injury from overuse of another limb that I was trying to use while I recovered from, but my energy and my level of fitness and everything remarkably quickly came back once the doctors said, you're in the clear. And maybe it's ignorance or maybe it's just hope. I really anticipated this being similar, especially because I've heard and seen, you know, people that went through this, and I don't know, I guess, how many times I asked the time frame, but it was like, yeah, it was, oh, I know so-and-so who had this, and yeah, it fixed everything for them as far as it fixed the arrhythmia, and they've gone back to being a competitive athlete, or they've gone back whatever level athlete they were. So in my mind, the limit was kind of going to be for me what the doctor said, like what they allowed me to do. I would be kind of chomping at the bit to do more. And that has not been the case. And I'm not saying this, you know, again, I don't need any sympathy about it. And I'm not saying this to concern anyone, but I have had a few people reach out who are looking into treatment and possibly needing the same thing. And just to put my experience out there, and again, very different yet similar to pregnancy, everyone is different. So my experience might not be yours, but how I talked about kind of when you're going through something like this, having a flexible and movable finish line, I've had to really hold true to that. And for the most part, I've been okay with it because I still see it like, well, I'm moving this, but I still feel like I'm on the home stretch. We will see how that goes. But it's been a very different recovery where I thought this was going to be the easiest surgery I ever come back from. It's been the hardest. It's been the slowest. I don't know if that's because of the impact that any kind of operation on your heart has on your physical being, or if it's because I'm older. I mean, I'm 6 years older than the last time I had a surgery, so I know that does have some effect, but it's just been slow. Like everything feels labored. My heart rate is trending normally. So that gives me good feelings that the surgery was successful. I'm not having those erratic spikes or dips in my heart rate, but you know, doing stuff that on the bike should be top end zone one, low end zone two, my heart rate's where it used to be for like top end zone three. And running just feels, it just feels hard. And I'm not going out like, well, you can't expect yourself to be in the same fit. I'm not going out trying to do intervals. I'm not going out trying to run the same pace. I'm just trying to run. Like, okay, I'm going to go out and jog today. But even that feels hard. It just, my body feels clunky. My breathing feels labored. My heart rate is higher than it should be. So it's been a challenge, being that I'm just 2 weeks in to being able to train again. I'm doing pretty well, I think, with my patients. And I have noticed in the last few days, it's not that I'm getting any quicker or getting any more power on the bike, but my heart rate's starting to trend back closer to what I would expect it to be. So I'm finding the silver linings. And I'm still patient because, like I said, I still feel like it's not like, oh, you'll never get there. It's just, the finish line's farther away. Like, you ever go to like a trail run? Because those suckers are never measured correctly. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought I was going to be done now. And somehow this is 5 miles longer. I'm kind of looking at it like that. I'm in the woods, but I know that I'm close because they said the finish line was 2 miles ago. So it can't be that much farther. So I think it will be, I do realize, like, you might not get back to where you were, but I'm not focused there. I'm focusing on the fact that little improvements, like I don't feel better, maybe really, really minuscule amounts better. But if I'm feeling the same, but I'm getting faster times or more watts with less heart rate, I feel like my body is starting to trend the same direction, but it's just been slow. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at, just to give an update. I thought I'd be farther along. I'm as okay with it as I can be right now. So I guess, you know, my point other than just kind of checking in would be that if anyone else is experiencing this, like just kind of, again, similar yet different to a pregnancy, you have to respect your body and let it heal. I mean, I don't, you know, obviously if you have red flags, like if you're having actual reactions or you know, unusual shortness of breath, dizziness, anything like that, you need to see your doctor. But it's like, if, and I've checked in with the nurse as well, like, is this normal? And they say it can be. And that's kind of what I'm just going through. But it's like, just it's not linear. And just kind of have patience. And if somebody is out there listening to this and you're thinking you might need the same operation and you have questions about it, send them to me. Or if you want to chat about it, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to share more about my experience in detail and know that, you know, yours, I may be able to help, but your experience also may be different from mine. So,
yeah, I think the listening to your body part is so important for both of our topics. You know, I mean, obviously in a little bit of different ways, but it's still the same message of you're not going to get anywhere from forcing it. Like if you went out and really tried because you were just dead set on like, oh, these are my numbers. It's past the 2-week mark. I am ready. And you like went out and like did more than your body could handle. That's going to put you back in like the operating room or like back in the doctor and spending more money. And like, it's not going to be good. It's going to add more time to that recovery. And the same, you know, with when I was chatting about like the risks during pregnancy and everything, like even if you're not in that mode, like we're not here to tell you that like these things are easy to go through and we're having like an amazingly easy time with them because there are definite struggles, but we have gone through enough high level racing and athletic events to know, and like just years of putting our bodies through a lot of physical efforts to know that you can only push yourself so far without seeing like a negative effect from it, right? When you know you're not supposed to push. Like there are times where it's just way more beneficial to step back and not overdo it. Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of athletes learn with. Obviously a mistake usually comes and that's how you learn that.
Yeah. But
also with just time and experience. And it's like, it doesn't really matter what the circumstance is, like listen to your body and know that pushing through something, you can only do that so much before it gets you to a really bad spot. And when you're in such a big circumstance, like a surgery or a pregnancy, it's definitely not the time to be risky.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So update, how are you? Like, what is next? What is like,
just keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I'm just kind of taking it week by week. Like I said, I would have thought by now I'd be fully back in full swing. And I'm just, my volume is at about 40% and my intensity is it's what it is. Like it's no intervals. It's no stress. It's just get out and ride and run and kind of go from there. And I mean, to be honest, as far as like I'm enjoying the lack of, I don't miss the structure so much. I know I will get there, but it's like races still feel so far off. And that's the thing that's kind of weird is I know things will start happening in June, July, August, but I think I'm kind of taking some comfort in like, I'm not having to cancel any race plans yet. And I still am of the mindset that things will come around in the next month, month and a half, and that will still give me time to prep for, you know, I have a couple of races with Joe Martin and SBT, which SBT for me is more of a ride than a race, but I still would like to go into it fit. And those aren't until August. So I had some June race question marks on the calendar. Maybe this will help make the definitive decision on, I'm hesitant to go into a crit when no one's raced in so long anyway. And if I'm not fit, it's not worth the risk or the money. If you might get pulled after two laps, like, well, that was a good $175.
Right. Getting pulled would be like a downside, you know, or like the upside where crashing out is. I think we're going to see a lot of crashes in some of these like early races or, you know, people are either going to be very timid or very risky and it's going to be weird. So yeah, definitely a bonus that, you know, we're not missing out on things exactly like missing out on training and, you know, feeling super fit, but it's not affecting like any outcome race results that we had like really, you know,
yeah,
penned in. And I think just like you, it feels good. I mean, it would obviously feel better, I think, for both of us if we were out there like smashing the numbers and getting PRs and whatever. But at a, there is a point where you're like doing so little or you're trying to just get by. And it feels kind of nice to just like, oh, all right, I spun for an hour and I ran 2 miles and I hadn't run in 5 weeks and came back and now I've done 4 miles max, but it's like 2 miles a day is kind of my thing right now. And it feels great. And I'm so happy with those 2 miles and just being able to do it. And I know someday I'll be back up to like 12 and then 20 miles and, you know, and that'll be fine and wonderful, but there's no stress attached to the 2 miles. It doesn't matter if they're 10 minute miles or if I'm walking, really, you know, it's fine. It's just like getting out there. So you do kind of learn to appreciate just that your body can still move and it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys.
Yeah, I think that about sums it up. Thanks for listening. Continue to have these conversations with us in private. If you want to DM us each individually, you can do that on Instagram. Is probably the best way, easiest way. And Leah is at Leah Thorvaldsen. I am at Hungry for Results. We are happy to have the conversations with you. If it's something that you'd like to share on the podcast, you know, we don't mention anyone's name, so don't feel hesitant.
Unless you want us to, we'll give a shout out. You
totally can. but like, don't feel like just because you're your name is attached to the message that we're going to like call you out on something. You know, we're fine just answering the questions. So if you have other questions that are totally unrelated to pregnancy and surgery, ask those. It's getting into warmer weather. There's a lot of training that's going to be happening. Some races are totally coming back. Ironman Texas just happened, 70.3. Yeah. You know, there are crits happening in South Carolina. Dez is trying to set like an ultra running marathon. Like, stuff is happening.
It's wait, what? Cool.
Yeah.
Linden?
Yeah. I can't.
I love 50K her. She makes or good 50 coffee miles. Too.
Yeah, she's amazing. Love her so much. And yeah, wishing her the best of luck that she smashes this. So like, people are taking on different opportunities and, you know, going for things. It's an exciting time, although a very different time still. It's, you know, things are going in the right direction. So if you have questions about anything else, or if you don't have a question and you just have like a topic that you really want to hear more about, we'll talk about it. Talk about almost anything. So
if not on the podcast, definitely before the podcast starts.
Yeah, for sure. And I will be able to share an update in hopefully at the latest 7 weeks. And, you know, beyond that of getting back into a normal life. Because at this point, I'm really ready to be two separate human beings. That sounds great to me.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right, guys. All right. Have an awesome week.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week. Okay, bye.